On the record. On News Talk.
With Pinergy. Supplying energy with insight to forward-thinking Irish businesses.
Just to recap the situation as it stands again this lunchtime with the AstraZeneca vaccine, which is being paused in its rollout in Ireland. There have been 117,000 or so AstraZeneca vaccines issued so far in Ireland. There are no reports of any adverse outcomes or anything that NIAC would be particularly worried about. But there was a report last night from Norway that of those who had received that particular vaccine, there were circumstances in which three of them had then had significant brain clots, one of which was fatal. It is out of that abundance of caution, Karina Butler has told us, that they are temporarily suspending the administration of COVID-19 vaccine in Ireland. What is worth noting is that the UK, which has issued more of these vaccines than anyone else, they've issued 11 million of them, which is almost literally 100 times the number that have been administered in Ireland. They only have one reported case of anything to do with blood clots, and it hasn't been established whether that has been caused by the vaccine or whether it is simply just a coincidence that has occurred in that person. There are no other reports across the world, some in Norway, some in Denmark, and some in Iceland. None anywhere else across the world. NIAC, the HSE, the EMEA and the EMA are all going to be investigating this independently, and there will be further developments, of course, as and when we get them. If there is anything, of course, in the remainder of the show, we will bring it to you live here on the record. In the meantime, all of this breaking news around AstraZeneca has been something of a distraction from another very, very significant story, which is on the front page of two of the Sunday newspapers this morning, which is that the preliminary inquiry into Leo Varadkar's leaking of an IMO GP contract with the National Association of General Practitioners, a rival body, has now been upgraded to a criminal investigation by Garda headquarters. One of the reporters that has that story is Hugh O'Connell, political correspondent with Independent Newspapers, who's with us now. Hugh, I'm inclined to think that this is obviously a pretty significant situation. The idea that there would be a full criminal investigation into a serving member of the cabinet and a man who's destined to be Taoiseach again in a little over a year and a half, you can't understate how significant that is.
Yeah, it's not great for the Taoiseach this morning. And I think that it is certainly being viewed within Fine Gael as a significant and very troubling and worrying development because, as you say, I mean, the fact is that the Taoiseach, the man who is destined to be Taoiseach again at the end of next year, December of next year, is being investigated by Gardaí for a suspected breach of the law, a suspected illegal action, an action that he admits to, but he contends was not illegal, and that is his contention based on legal advice. I mean, it's worth pointing out that the guards have not spoken to the Taoiseach, as we understand it, we confirmed in the Sunday Independent last night, have they spoken to Matthew O'Toole, the individual, the former president of the NAGP, whom he leaked the confidential government document too. So, but what we understand is that the guards are still in the kind of information gathering exercise, but they've gathered enough material at this stage of their inquiries, their preliminary inquiries, to warrant further investigation, and that's why we have now this confirmation of a formal investigation being carried out. And I think that, you know, Varadkar is seen as the main person of interest in this, and at some stage he will be spoken to. He has offered to meet the guards. I think there's a bit of frustration on the Taoiseach's part, judging by some of the public statements about this from his spokesperson, that he's learning about a lot of this through media reports, but that is sometimes the nature, is often the nature of these things, in fact. But, you know, one of his own cabinet colleagues, Simon Harris, has already met and given a statement to the guards in relation to this. There's no suspicion of wrongdoing in relation to Mr. Harris, the former health minister, the current higher education minister. And it's also worth noting that the Standards and Public Office Commission, to whom got a complaint from People for Profit TD, Paul Murphy, last November, when this this story first arose in Village Magazine, Murphy alleged breaches of various codes of conduct for members of the Dáil Éire, for Dáil Éire and for the code of conduct for office holders. SIPO has told Paul Murphy this week that they are suspending their examination of his complaint pending the outcome of the Garda investigation.
Okay, so they have to allow the Garda one to run its course first.
Basically, yeah. You know, this has been going on for about 4 months now, Gavin. There was a complaint made last year by, we understand, a senior official in the Department of Health. The complaint's been taken very seriously by Gardaí. They're continuing to gather evidence in relation to this. These things take a lot of time, but I think, you know, the very fact that there's more stories about this on the front page today politically is a big problem for the Taoiseach, for his party, and for the Taoiseach as well, Micheál Martin. I mean, you know, this story, you know, when it was first reported that Gardaí were looking at this kind of on a preliminary basis, you know, the Taoiseach was very quick, I suppose, to basically back his tánaiste. And I think, you know, as Gerard Howland was saying on your programme earlier, it's either that or there's a general election. I don't think there's any appetite for that. But certainly, there's a lot of unease in Fine Gael about this. Absolutely. I mean, they are concerned about it. Absolutely. I don't think it's in any way, at this point in time, you know, troublesome for Varadkar's leadership of the party, but definitely there are quite a number of people in Fine Gael who I've spoken to over the last 12 hours who are a bit edgy.
Well, if he weren't the leader of the party, and if it wasn't a party that was in government, you would already be inundated with calls for him to stand aside, albeit without prejudice until the whole thing had wrapped up. I even see that the Cavan branch of Ógrafín na Foil this morning says it's deeply concerned about the revelation. They're asking for him to stand aside while the investigation is ongoing. Is this one of those situations where there's the realpolitik of the fact that the government needs him and that he's kind of indispensable politically, and that if this were anyone else, that they would be turfed out in the rear, at least temporarily?
Well, you know, I think it's ultimately he hasn't been charged with anything, and you know, there's no it's not definitive that he will be charged with anything potentially. I mean, the guards could look at this and contact the DPP and say that they're not recommending any charges. They don't believe there should be any charges, and the DPP could agree with that, the Director of Public Prosecution. But I think that, you know, I was trying to rack my brain last night as to when this kind of the last time this sort of issue happened, I suppose, where you have a senior political figure who is sort of, you know, the subject of investigation by a policing authority, or by police rather. And I can think of Gerry Adams being arrested by the PSNI in 2014 in the run up to the local and European elections, and questioned, I think, for a number of days by the PSNI in relation to the murder of Jean McConville. And there were there was a lot of criticism of Sinn Féin over that, but I mean, Gerry Adams, there was no question of him stepping aside, and there was strong support from within Sinn Féin for Gerry Adams's position. So I think, you know, that is kind of that. I suppose that's the precedent, really. I mean, it's not comparable, the two cases, but in terms of senior political figures being subject of investigations by police forces, that's the only immediate comparison I can think of.
You have to wonder, though, about the health of a political situation where someone who there might be a lot of anxiety within and outside government about him continuing on as a significant office holder, and that he remains there just purely because he's politically indispensable and because the nature of the coalition is such that if he goes, the whole thing comes tumbling down.
Yeah, I mean, look, he could go voluntarily, but I mean, the issue is that I don't think he's minded to do that because his legal advice is very clear. As far as he's concerned, he's committed no offence, and he's been quite clear about that in the Dáil as well, notwithstanding the fact he's apologised for what he did and he regrets having done it. He doesn't believe he's broken any law here. That's his legal advice on this. So he's sticking to his guns on that front. I don't detect the Taoiseach is minded to make a move on this, to, you know, ask for Adkar to step aside or anything like that. You know, maybe things will change, but I don't think that's the situation at this moment.
But the why you seeing right. being I double mean, standards, I, though, because we had a situation where a cabinet minister was dumped last summer because there was there were ongoing question marks around his interactions with Gardaí about a personal affair, and it was Micheál Martin judged that, you know, there was a political aspect to this as well as a personal one, and that if he wasn't prepared to address both, he'd have to go. And you'd sort of wonder, why is it that Micheál Martin would take a different approach to Barry Cowan than he would now for this?
Well, I suppose Micheál Martin would argue that he sacked Barry Cowan because Barry Cowan wouldn't answer questions in the Dáil, whereas the tánaiste has answered questions in the Dáil in relation to this. So I suppose that's the distinction. But certainly, I mean, that's a fair argument, I guess. And there does seem to be a different approach taken with the, you know, a senior, one of the second most powerful man in the coalition, you know, versus an agriculture minister. I mean, one, as you say, was out the Dáil, and another is likely to remain in office for the time being. He is indispensable. He is too big to fail, as you mentioned earlier. That's the reality of this for Micheál Martin. I mean, he could ask Varadkar to step aside. I don't think Varadkar would be minded to do that. And then you would be faced with a very real political crisis in the midst of trying to deal with the pandemic. It's not good. It doesn't reflect well, perhaps, on the Irish, the politics of it all. It doesn't reflect. I mean, there's a lot of public concern and anger about this issue, but ultimately, this is the situation that we find ourselves in.
Should be noted as well, Hugh O'Connell, very much thank you for your time this lunchtime. Hugh O'Connell, who is political correspondent with Independent Newspapers. Worth stating that there's two basic allegations from a legal sense against Leo Varadkar. One is the possibility of a breach of the Official Secrets Act. Leo Varadkar says that can't possibly have been the case because he was the Taoiseach at the time, so he had the authority to decide basically what was a secret and what wasn't. There's also suggestions around the Criminal Justice Corruption Offences Act 2018, which doesn't offer any immunity to office holders who allegedly provide documents or influence or some other way that can provide benefit to their friends. So we will investigate that. We'll keep an eye on all of it. And of course, Leo Varadkar denies any wrongdoing, but nonetheless, now the subject of a criminal investigation.